Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Vamsi Bhajan Prabhuji in Sri Dham Mayapur addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees. And this is on 1st of January 2014. And we are continuing with this unit 2nd from chapter 7 to 12. And today we are going to cover chapter 11. And this is the day 9 of this course. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so you would like to say a few points from yesterday's class?
You started off the class by sharing how we have to be careful. We have to make sure we guard our kripa. We have to make sure we guard our bhakti attribution. We care about accidentally altering that which looks like the bhakti attribution, which are the weeds.
Okay. Yeah, we discussed about the various weeds which may grow along with the bhakti lata. What else?
And
yes, Radha.
You also explained the anatta, sitta and the
Nishidasha, Jivahamsa and Kutinati. So these are various anarthas, the beings which grow along with the Bhakti Lata, and how we must carefully try to approve them. Yes, Panama.
See, the Prabhupada is expressing the importance of association.
Srimad
Bhagavatam 4.9.11
yes.
Very pressing about association.
Yes. That whatever
it is, shouldn't leave. Right. There is another reference to Taitanya Sarasamrita.
Right. Which is
effective,
says Manjari. Ah. 19.1 to see 7. Good, thank you. Pseudo devotee. Yes.
Even there are pseudo
devotees.
Within the moment.
Yeah.
Still, you should not leave the association of
devotees.
Yes. Thank you.
That's all.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right, becoming attached to them, then that becomes strong.
You also mentioned about the law of cessation.
Cessation.
Cessation. And right. Devotees don't go very deep into the scriptures, they find it boring and they go away.
Yeah. So satiation exists only on the material platform, not on the spiritual platform. Yes, Amish?
In relation to the point that Pandit had brought up, could he correct me if I'm wrong? He said that if one should not think that these things are like the outcome of bhakti.
Yes.
Bhakti is pure in itself. These things are
byproducts.
Byproducts.
Yeah, yeah. One must not mistake these to be signs of spiritual advancement. These are simply byproducts of bhakti. One should not mistake these to be symptoms of spiritual advancement. Maybe they are given because of that also, but that need not be the only criteria. Any one or two more?
Definition of sincerity.
Okay.
Like divided like sin and sincerity, like so without any contamination, and basically the definition of pure devotion.
Okay.
Somebody just said it. We also read about the universal form. And you mentioned how this is the only time Krishna shows form. The color is kind of very ghastly, nasty, and Krishna had to downgrade Arjuna's vision
in order
to perceive it.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, Nana?
There was this, you said that he was saying so strong, and
okay.
He really enjoyed it, but it was disturbing the man in the building.
And
he divided the white stuff and gradually by him. At first he said, oh, you like playing? Yes, we love it. So I'll pay you. And then gradually from one week to the next, you really pay them less and less, and he actually complained, oh, but if you don't pay us, then we don't play anymore.
Yes.
So in our devotional service, at first we get the base and we relish the classes, the kirtans, association of devotees, and even if the kishori is too salty, it's all Krishna special. But then maybe gradually, if we're not careful, we'll take all this for granted and all.
Okay, fine, thank you. Okay, so I think we'll proceed ahead with the remainder of the 11th chapter. So we were discussing about the universal form, and we read the description of the universal form which Sanjay is describing to Dhritarashtra as he's seeing it on the battlefield. So, okay. That's verse number 32. Okay, so verse number 31, we read, finally Arjuna is totally confused and bewildered at seeing this ghastly form of the Lord, and so he says, I want to know you, for I do not know what your mission is. Okay, and then the Lord begins to speak. So that's verse number 32. Let's recite. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. Just a second. कालोस्मि लोकक्षयकृत् प्रवृद्धो लोकान् समाहर्तुमिह प्रवृत्त अर्थेऽपि त्वन्ना भविष्यन्ति सर्वे ये वस्थिता प्रत्यनिकेषु योद्धा. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Time I am, the great destroyer of the world, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Okay, so the Lord has already declared that all the soldiers on both sides except the Pandavas, everyone are definitely going to be slain. There is no doubt about that. And Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, all the Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Therefore he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. And further down Prabhupada writes, eventually all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. So the universal form is having a meal of all these soldiers on the battlefield. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant, and here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on the battlefield would be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight, and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. The Lord's plan was to destroy all of them, and so even if Arjuna did not fight, the Lord would anyway do his job. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction, and all manifestations are to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. And we read the regarding this time, we read this beautiful section in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Vidura instructing Dhritarashtra. And there he speaks more on this time factor. And there he describes that how in this world ultimately everything is going to be destroyed by time. And so he is chastising Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is thinking that he is living comfortably, though he has become old and his liver has become dysfunctional, he cannot see, he's already blind, he cannot hear, and his teeth have become loose, and so many symptoms of old age, yet Dhritarashtra is thinking that he's going to live forever, and so Vidura is heavily chastising him and telling him how ultimately by the influence of time everything is going to be destroyed. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, he calls this well-known English saying, time and tide wait for now. And there he he gives an example. He says there was one director of a planning commission who was going to attend a meeting of the planning commission, but time, Kala had another plan for him. Right, so on the way to the planning commission meeting, he was finished, right, by Kala. So the point is that yes, ultimately everyone is going to be destroyed by time, and so that's the eventuality. In one way or another, it is going to happen. There's no doubt about that.
Does the word Kala have anything in common with Kali?
Well, Kala is the representation of the Lord. No, I don't think there's any representation of Kali. Of course, Kali is acting on behalf of Kala. Kala is the Supreme Lord, representation of the Supreme Lord. Kali is acting on behalf of him to ultimately destroy everyone.
Kala and Hari? Kala and Hari,
no? Well, that's what I can say. Okay, 33.
Tasmat vamuttishta yasholavasva jitva shatran vamshvarajam samradham mayevete nita purvameva nimittamasanam bhavatavyasachan.
Therefore get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Prabhupada often quoted this last line, nimittamasanam bhavatavyasachan. Prabhupada writes, Savisachan refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus, Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior, capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan, and all manifestations are but accidental formations. Further down he says, what is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to log into a material nature, they are conditioned. Okay, so that's the definition of conditioned soul. What is meant by conditioned soul? As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to lord it over material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. And towards the end he says, Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that I have already done the whole job, and I'm going to do it anyways. All what you have to do is you fight and take the credit. So the Lord is always eager to give credit to his devotees. Though in the ultimate sense the Lord does everything, but the Lord likes to give credit to his devotees and glorify his devotees. Just like somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, was it not possible for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach all over the world? And Prabhupada replies, yes, he is the Supreme Personality of God, and he could have definitely done that. But he left some service for us. So yes, the Lord could definitely have done it, but then he wanted to glorify his pure devotees, Sri Prabhupada. And so that's the reciprocal relationship between the Lord and his pure devotee. The Lord wants to glorify his pure devotee, and the pure devotee wants to glorify the Lord. So that's always the a sort of transcendental competition that's going on between the Lord and his pure devotee. And so the Lord always wants to glorify his devotees. And that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna, I've already done the job, I'm going to do it anyways. All what you do is act like an instrument and take the credit. Right? So similarly, the Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread anyways. So all what we have to do is become an instrument and take the credit. So, if we don't do it, just like the other day somebody was saying in the Bhagavatam class, you know, if that Prabhupada came in the dream of some lady and told her to go and get a book from the temple and so on, so that, I don't remember who was speaking. So he said that, you know, if we don't preach, then Prabhupada will do the work anyways. Right, so, but then if we do the job, then we can get some credits for that and get purified. So that's what, here also Krishna has ultimately done everything. He's showing Arjuna that how he is actually killing everyone. Everyone is going to die, but then Arjuna can fight and take the credit. So we are on this section, 30 to 34. Krishna says, "Time I am, and you just become my instrument." Okay, so two reasons why Arjuna wanted to see the universal form. What are the two reasons? Yes, to set it right again for whom? Yes, to distinguish bogus incarnations from the true ones. And the second reason? Yes, to establish Krishna's divinity. We also discussed yesterday on this theme of grace and how the grace of the Lord can be misused, and in the concept of grace, how it can be misused, and how by proper understanding of that theme of grace, then one can actually become humble and have the right attitude and behavior towards others. Okay, please read this. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
That is the beauty of the Lord's dealings with his devotees. Sometimes the Lord gives more credit to his devotees than he takes for himself. For instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna fought simply by giving directions. Yet, it was Arjuna who took the credit for fighting. Nimitta matram bhava samyasachi. You, O samyasachi, Arjuna, can be but an instrument in the fight. Bhagavad Gita 11:33. Everything was arranged by the Lord, but the credit of victory was given to Arjuna. Similarly, in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is happening according to the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, but the credit goes to the Lord Chaitanya's sincere servant.
Okay, so here is the next slide for you. This is the time when you became Krishna's instrument and accomplished a task that was ordinarily beyond your capability. Okay, so you can just talk to your neighbors and discuss an incident where you achieved something which was ordinarily beyond your capability. I mean, I won't give any clues. Okay, you can please start. You just turn to your neighbors. Here. So somebody can come with Nityavana. Okay, that's a good idea.
I organized the Vancouver British Columbia Temple Board from a group of politically infighting people who didn't get along with the GBC, that really didn't like anybody. And I just kept praying to Krishna. Every night, I'd actually get down on my... It was like old-fashioned when you were a kid. I actually got down on my knees next to my bed, put my hands on the bed, you know what I mean, and pray. You know, give me some direction here, because I'm on the temple board, but it's a disaster. They don't agree on anything. They have no forward movement. And I just would go to board meetings, which were held every Wednesday night, and I said, I'd like to talk. Mm. And I start talking. Mm. And at the end of talking, people were quiet and starting to get along.
Mm.
And week after week, this went on.
Mm.
The board started to come together.
Mm.
I was applying a little business sense to it about group behavior and etiquette among people.
Mm.
It was really a task that was ordinarily beyond my capability. Getting a bunch of people that I didn't know really that well, except
mm-hmm.
a few of them,
mm-hmm.
to really come together
mm-hmm.
and work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. And that was really, in business, if I was the boss, I could get them all to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is volunteer, it's a non-profit,
mm-hmm.
it's a group of people that didn't have to listen to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some didn't like me. And it all came together, and it became a very cohesive group of people.
Oh, I see. So then it worked well then?
It worked well for 5 years after that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it worked very, very well.
Mm.
In fact, as the years went on, it got better and better.
Mm.
It was a very, very good group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That from time to time looked back and kind of, I remember one of the Montagues who was very intelligent and very learned, actually.
Mm.
She was married to Partha, the head of Pajori.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been in ISKCON for a very long time.
Mm.
And she said to me one time, she said, I don't know how the board came together.
Mm.
She said, it's just wonderful how it's working. How about you?
Me?
Yeah, how about you? Some task ordinarily beyond your capability. You were surprised.
My very practice of devotional service. Only beyond my capacity.
You know, that's exactly my number one thing. I have told devotees, I should be at the front gate on my knees begging to get in, and they're going, no, you're not ready. No, well, maybe someday, but not yet. There's devotees in there. You shouldn't be here. Yeah. Practicing Krishna consciousness.
And of course, I mean, looking back, definitely whatever service I'm currently doing, even that is definitely something which is surprising for most people, because I was quite an introvert, and initial days I hardly used to speak and things.
You know, Eklava was an introvert and picked on in school all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. He was a total introvert.
Uh-huh.
And just picked on, bullied and everything. And
uh-huh.
Now look at him.
Just the opposite. Krishna's plan.
Krishna's plan.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, I think so that's enough time. Somebody would like to share with the class? We'll give some chance to somebody who has not yet contributed, maybe. Yes, somebody would like to share? If somebody wants to volunteer, that's fine. Others move ahead. Okay, Nityananda Prabhu wants to say something.
So I have to say before I start, after I sat here and told Maharaj what my accomplishment was,
and so?
I turned to him and said, so what's yours? And he had the answer. He says, I became a devotee. I'm doing a devotional service. Which was, like you said, ordinarily beyond my capability. So the one task that I could come up with that I felt like was beyond my capability involved me being asked to be on the Vancouver British Columbia Temple board, and when I joined the board, we were having 2-hour meetings where no one got along. Half the group didn't like the other half of the group, and there was absolutely no forward progress at all. And I actually, as I told our teacher, I actually started getting down on my knees next to my bed, like you did when you were a kid at night, and praying to Krishna on my knees for like some guidance, or I was just going to leave the board because it was just crazy. And so after a few weeks of really every night just praying, you know, asking, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, if I was a businessman and an owner, I could make him behave, but, you know, I don't think they even like me, so I don't know what to do. And after a few weeks, it was like a little bit of magic. I would talk and try to make sense of things and tell them that I've been praying for them. And after a few months, everyone was just getting along just fine. And this was a group of people that hadn't been getting along for years. And it turned into, after maybe 4 or 5 months, into a very functioning group of people that for the following 5 years that I was on the board became more effective and more effective. And I feel like it was really doing, it had a lot to do with just asking for God's grace. You know, give me, I don't know, intervene. You know, it's not me, you intervene. You know, I'll try to do my best.
Hey, Bo! Thank you, Bo. Somebody else? Okay.
I used to work at UBS, which is the Union Bank of Switzerland Bank, and I was there on an internship. So we had a big conference, so like an introduction to the internship for 10 weeks. And I was looking around the room and I was thinking, who can we preach to? I was just looking around, trying to stuff at the audience. And anyway, there was one Mataji. And I looked at her and I thought, out of everybody in the room, she's definitely not going to say to Krishna consciousness, 100%. Like, you know, just a quick call like that. So anyways, one time I was at lunch, and in order to arrange my bag, I had to take Bhagavad Gita out and put it on the table. And then I put Bhagavad Gita on the table, then I went into my bag just to arrange it so I can put it back in neatly. And then all I heard is a voice say, "Oh, you have Bhagavad Gita, what, that Hare Krishna book?" And I looked up and it was her. And I'm thinking, what? You know that Hare Krishna? And then all of a sudden she said that she met the Hare Krishna before, into yoga like that. So then we gave her the journey home like that. She said that she read basically 80 pages in 2 days, finished the book in basically almost a week, visited the temple, has read Bhagavad Gita before, like that, so many things. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, can you imagine that? Out of everybody in the room, I said, she's definitely not the candidate.
Yes, Krishna has his own plan. Okay, pose for something.
This is very amazing, you know. Yesterday, you know, I have a bookstore at the Gita Mela. I studied with books. But yesterday, after class, I went there. Some group of Indians came there by seeing my dark color and they said, "Kali! You are coming from Africa, dear Krishna! Come, 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 come!" I said, "Go to the altar, I will see the platform." Oh, they said, "Okay, it's fine." I think these books, when you read them, you know that Krishna is not black or white, it's bluish color. It's good to be a devotee of Krishna. They said, "Okay." So they give donations and they take a book. Yeah. So I felt very happy that in Mayapur, Eastern Holy Town, I was able to receive books for Krishna.
Evo! Okay, that was it. Okay.
So we'll go ahead with the next section. Okay, so in the next so 34, Krishna says, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. Right, so, yes, so Krishna is saying, kill them and do not be disturbed. It's a beautiful purport actually. Something, Henry, just read the purport.
Every plan is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but He is so kind and merciful to His devotees that He wants to give the credit to His devotees who carry out His plan according to His desire. Life should therefore move in such a way that everyone acts in Krishna consciousness and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of a spiritual master. The plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are understood by His mercy, and the plans of the devotees are as good as His plans. One should follow such plans and be victorious in the struggle for existence.
That's a good statement. The plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are understood by His mercy. It's only by the mercy of the Lord that one can understand the Lord's plans, and of course the plans are revealed by the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. And the plans of the devotees are as good as His plans. Sanjay said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows. So now from 36 onwards to 46. From 36 till 46. These are list of Arjuna's prayers. Okay, which is offering to the Lord. Having seen this ghastly form, he is offering very, very beautiful prayers. And we'll just have a short exercise based on these prayers of Arjuna and Srila Prabhupada's purports. So, we will quickly divide this class into four groups.
Chaitanya?
No. We will change the routine. So now we have Shankar, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Shankar, Chakra, Gada, Padma.
Chakra.
Yes. Shankar, Chakra,
Gada, Padma.
Padma,
Shankar.
Chakra, Gada, Padma, Shankar. Okay, fine. Okay, so get into your four groups. Okay, everyone settle down. Okay, one, okay, this is what? This is? Shankar, Padma, Lada, and Chakra. You can sit down, you can sit on chairs, so you sit down, some of you sit. Okay, so now what you have to do is, from these verses and purports, you have to deduce, or what you can say, come up with points for personal application and preaching application. Okay, so now I'm going to allot 3 verses to each of the groups. Okay, so okay, so Padma group, we'll start with you. So 47, 48 and 49. Sorry, I made a mistake. We are starting from 36. We'll come back to you. Okay. So we'll start from here. 36, 37 and 38. Yeah, 3 verses. And yours is the next 3, 39, 40, 41, 42. 30, yeah, that's fine, that's okay. Yeah, you write points on the chart. Hare Krishna. There's something, the connection is gone? Okay, so yours is 39, 40, 41, 42. Okay? Yours is 43. 44 43 and 44, and you can take 45 and 46. Okay, so write points for personal preaching application on a chart, right? Please take a chart and write points on the chart. And when you write your points, you should also write the reference from which verse you are taking the points. Okay? And we are giving you exactly 10 minutes, nothing more than that. So your time is till 11:30. You said something? No, the verse and the purpose. Both the verses and the purpose.
Thank you.
Prabhu, just a small change. Maybe these two purposes are a little big, so maybe you do just two verses. 36 and 37.
Thank you.
Yeah, only two, okay? 36 and 37. And Prabhu, a small change. So you can start from 38. 38, 39 and 40.
Oh, okay.
39 and 40. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Father. Prabhu, a small change.
Oh.
Sorry for that. So you can do 41, 42 and 43.
41, 42, 43. Okay, at least 43 is common. All right.
Yeah. 41, 42 and 43.
Wait, 42, they are combined.
Yeah, that's right.
Should we say, because Arjuna was familiar, all personal implications that we shouldn't be familiar?
Wait, I'll just make a point. Hare Krishna, sorry for the interruption. I just want to clarify one thing. When we speak of general principles for personal application and preaching application, when we speak of general principle, it is not in reference to the context. A general principle is a general statement which is applicable in all situations. That is what we mean by general principle. Means you take a contextual reference and put it in a general statement. Right? So for example, here you have Arjuna making a statement, but then you take that statement and you have to generalize it. So a general principle is a principle which is applicable at all times in all circumstances. So that is what we mean by general principle. I hope everyone has understood what is meant by general principle. Yeah, for example, here Arjuna is saying, okay, he's requesting Krishna, please forgive me for my offenses and this and that. Okay, so general principle would be that how one must be careful about offenses. I'm just giving an example. Okay, so a general principle is a general thing. It's not in reference to the context. Okay? Prabhu, sorry, a small change. So you can do three verses, 44, 45 and 46. Yeah, 44, 45 and 46. Okay, thank you. Yeah, in reference to personal appreciation.
Thank you.
Okay, so
Okay, just try to finish in a few minutes. Just one or two minutes more. Please try to complete. Do you require more time?
Yes, a little.
Okay, just a minute more. Please try to finish. Okay, I think for the reception time. Michael, you're done?
Yes.
Okay, let's begin. Okay, 36 seconds.
Baba,
Who's present me? Who were you presented last time?
I'm not presented.
Okay. So all of you are present then? Okay, fine. Where is the other microphone? Take the other bit. So you first read your translation of the verse, of the verses, and then you can begin your presentation. First read the translation of the verses and then begin.
Okay. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing in your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. All of the perfect beings offer your respectful homage. The demons are afraid, and they flee here and there. All this is very good done. O great one, greater even than Brahman, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you, O limitless one, God of God, the huge of the universe? You are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, the transcendental to this material manifestation.
So from the first shloka we can see that upon hearing Lord's name, the whole world becomes joyful. In the personal application, we can see that if we are chanting holy name, we become joyful. And it is also said that we become attached to Supreme Lord, who is the most beautiful, most richest, most everything person. And also it is said that the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. In personal application, we can compare this to the anatomizing process or the nullification of the unwanted things in the heart. And the same things in preaching application, we can preach to the others too. If they will hear and chant the holy name, they will be joyful and they will be also attached to the most beautiful person. And the whole planet will be purified by the nullifications of the demon's mentality.
Like the demons of the spiritual enemy, lust, anger, and
okay.
That will be eradicated.
Okay.
And there's like in 36, the Prabhupada is stating, Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battlefield, became enlightened. So regarding this point, like in personal application and preaching application, like from hearing, like from a bona fide representative, like we are hearing about Krishna is not different from Krishna, so one will be enlightened.
Okay.
And in the same case, like if we are going to preach the same message as it is, so here it is written like others will have the same experience as Arjuna, like one will be like enlightened by hearing the message. If we are going to preach the message as it is, what we have received from hearing a monopoly.
Okay. What happened? What happened?
Because my point is altogether this, others have to
die. Achcha, everyone has their part.
I can say one more.
We can say also that also become enlightened in Krishna offered this prayer, because then he have a realization of Krishna, mm-hmm. and he offered this. There's many different types of prayers.
Yes.
But this is the glorification of the Lord.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
After the enlightenment.
Okay, fine.
I don't know if there is more, but one.
But you have one more verse, no?
What?
You have one more verse, right? 36.
37.
Yes.
First of all, I find it difficult to distinguish between personal application and preaching application.
Okay, no problem. Whatever you feel, you say.
For preaching. It's especially in India, maybe for people to understand that Krishna is the supreme, is above Brahma, Shiva, and all the others.
Mm-hmm.
He's supreme.
Okay.
In the only universal form, he's explained as the cause of all causes, and he's the transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
He's eternal, so he's not affected when the material creation is destroyed like that.
Okay.
And this is also from 37, and also from 36 and 37, which where Arjuna glorifies Krishna like that, makes him, for us also, it makes not take Krishna as just. He's a cool friend. Mm-hmm. We can have play with him. It makes us also humble to understand. Actually, he's unimaginable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's a whole reason for us to really pay obeisances and
stuff
like that.
Okay, fine, thank you.
What
about the who else was in your team?
Radha Prabhu and Pinto Prabhu.
So, you all want to say something? What same? Okay, go ahead.
And Krishna is like in the purport of 36, again I am repeating, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Everything done by Krishna is quite fit shows one should be having a faith of a devotee.
Mm-hmm.
That if one is having the faith, so one can have conviction that whatever Krishna does is plus, whatever minus is, he is the cause of all causes, that he should be appreciative for every situation. He has got the faith as Krishna has got.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. There's one important sentence, of course, which is in relation to this point that whatever Krishna does is quite fit. Further down, Prabhupada says his actions are equally good for all. Just a few lines down, the sixth line of the purport. His actions are equally good for all. Actually, this is a very important point for both personal as well as preaching application. His actions are equally good for all. So personally we can understand that sometimes, as we were discussing in one of the classes, that sometimes there may be, everything may appear to be very favorable, all situations may be nice, and sometimes it may appear as the situations are not so favorable. Sometimes it will be miseries, difficulties, challenges. But then, in either case, we understand that is Krishna's mercy, and whatever Krishna is doing is for my ultimate benefit. And the famous Tatyan Kampam verse, where Vishnachari Thakur gives the example of a father who may sometimes give a sweet to a child and sometimes may give medicine, bitter medicine, but in either case, it's for the benefit of the child. So the father is all good, and he has only the goodwill of the child within his mind, and that's
how he acts. So similarly, Krishna is the Supreme Father, and that's how he acts. So in either case, whether one should know that mercy may come in any form. Sometimes one has an understanding, mercy means only when things are favorable. But then even when things are unfavorable, that is also another form of Krishna's mercy. So that's one important point. And the same point for preaching application, and that is the usually asked question, why bad things happen to good people? So again, we have to explain that ultimately Krishna, it's the Lord's plan for everyone, and that is for the goodwill of every living entity. Okay, so that's an important point for both person as well as preaching application. Further down, okay, the point of how everyone becomes joyful by chanting the Lord's holy name, how the demons, the unearthers, they flee away. Okay, that's a good point. And the last line of the purport again, Srila Prabhupada writes, in all cases a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Okay, so again the same point. And then in verse number 37 we find there are a number of words by which Arjuna is addressing Krishna, like Mahatma, Ananta, Devesha, Aksharam. Okay, so these are all adjectives which Arjuna is using to address Krishna, and Prabhupada is explaining them in the purport. Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Mahatma, which means that he is most magnanimous, unlimited. Ananta indicates that there is nothing which is not covered by the influence and energy of the Supreme Lord. Devesha means that he is the control of all demigods and is above them all. He is the shelter of the whole universe. And further down, the word Aksharam is very significant because this material creation is subject to destruction, but the Lord is above this material creation. So each of these points actually is significant, and they're all glorifications of the Lord actually. Each of these is an adjective that's used to glorify the Lord, and so all of them indicate ultimately the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, and so are all important points for preaching to indicate the supremacy of the Supreme Lord above everyone else. Okay, fine, the next group. Who's next? Okay. When I say next group, it indicates the next series of verses. Right, so 38, 39 and 40. Yes.
Verse 11, 38. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, the whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. So we mentioned three points. First of all, we understood that preaching obligation and personal obligation in this instance may be the same for us and for other people that want to be Krishna, we should preach as well. So we should perceive Krishna as origin of everything. He is the oldest.
Okay.
And the next point is that he is all knowable. That means that we should refer to him in any questions we have. The next thing is that supreme refuge is in the proverb it says Nidanam. So everything rests on Krishna.
Okay.
So that practically it means that we should take shelter of Krishna in every moment, because everything rests on him. He's the supreme refuge. Next verse is verse 11:39. Arjuna says, you are air and you are the supreme controller. You are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisance unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again. First of all, Krishna is everywhere, like air.
Mm-hmm.
So we should try to see him everywhere. I just mentioned you are water, you are the moon, you are fire. So if we see, if it's a Krishna like that, it helps in our life as well. The next point is that he is the supreme controller. So if he controls everything, that will naturally surrender to Krishna, if we understand this. And also we will not be attached to the fruits of our activities. So if he is controlling everything, so why should we attach? Why should we try to control our projects or anything? I mean, we can work as an instrument to Krishna, but not, you know, be attached to the result. So yeah, that verse is nice. And then the next verse 40. Arjuna says, obeisance is to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O undaunted power, you are the master of limitless mind. You are all pervading and thus you are everything. So first of all, he is all powerful, Arjuna mentioned, and he pays obeisance. That means that we should also, you know, be very careful in paying obeisance. We should do it very diligently because, you know, he's very powerful. Any offense we make, that would be not very good for our spiritual life and life in general, actually. And the next point is that he's best of everything. So if we get proud of something, we should always remember that Krishna is the best, we're not the best. And the next point, yeah, is also on all powerfulness, is that if we wish to achieve something, we can have Krishna, because he can help us, he's all powerful, if ever we're using him. Yeah.
Okay, any one question? Okay, no questions. Thank you very much. Revo! just to add something, in verse number 38, Prabhupada says, Nidhanam means that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. It's a good point for the impersonalists to understand that even the Brahman effulgence, which they think to be supreme, is ultimately coming from Krishna. Right, so that's a good point of preaching application for the impersonalists. And now this point, that he is the knower of everything that's happening in the world, and if knowledge has any end, he is the end of all knowledge, and therefore he is the known and the knowable. This is an important point for personal application, in that if you know that Krishna is watching us at all times, he knows everything, then that automatically actually puts us on guard. The reason why we think we can do any mischief, whatever we want, is because we think nobody is watching. So you all know that story of the teacher who gave the child a mango and children a mango and told them to eat a place where no one is watching? Famous story. Well, a Gurukul teacher gave each student a mango and told them to eat at a place where no one is watching. And so each student went to different places, somebody hid under the bench, somebody hid behind a tree and so on. But one student came back with a mango, back to the teacher, and the teacher asked, why didn't you eat? So the student, didn't you find a single place where nobody was watching? And the student said, no, I didn't find a single place where the Lord is not watching. Right? And the teacher was very happy. So the point is, yes, that's a fact. And so, not only the Lord, but we read in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam that whatever we are doing, there are how many witnesses? 12 or 13, whatever. So there are so many witnesses, like the sun and the moon and the air and the directions and so many. So there are so many witnesses, and even if none of them exist, there's always one, and that is the Supreme Lord, is Paramatma. So if we are actually conscious of this fact, then we really cannot do anything wrong, which is against Shastra.
The only reason why we even venture to do something which is against the Shastra, which is against the Lord's will, is because we fail to understand this fact that there is someone watching. And he takes careful note of that. And we have to pay for every action that we are doing. It's only because of lack of this awareness and this realization. We may theoretically know this. We have been hearing since so many years practically that the Lord is situated as Paramatma, but the fact remains that we fail to actually have a realization of this fact. And that's the only reason why one commits wrong activities. Right? So understanding this fact, realizing this fact is something which is very important. And of course, he is the ultimate object of all knowledge. Vedesya sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krut veda vid eva chaham. So the ultimate purpose of all the Vedas is ultimately to know the Supreme Lord. Okay. And here in verse number 40, we find that Prabhupada writes, out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all prowess and far superior to all the great warriors assembled in the battlefield. And as the point rightly mentioned, that if one understands this, that yes, ultimately all powers, all potencies are coming from the Lord, then there's no question to be really proud of anything, because then we understand that yes, whatever I'm able to do is ultimately coming from the Lord. It's only by the mercy of the Lord that I'm able to do it. Okay, fine. So we'll stop at this point for a break and then we will continue at 12:10 with the next two groups. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.